Thank you so much. If you've got your Bible, please take it and turn with me to the 2 Timothy. And we'll read a word there. I want to thank the church and my thank yous and appreciation to all that you've done for Brother Billy's friendship through the years. Been my brother in the Lord, and many times I've had to call him on the telephone and just cry, and he would listen and remind me that our God was bigger. And I thank him for his friendship. I thank this church for all that they've done, the wonderful food we've had, and all of the things that's been on. And Brother Billy Carden, thank you for that wonderful, wonderful message. God bless you, brother. Stay in the traces until he calls. I was privileged to be in Jacksonville at the First Baptist Church in January in their big meeting. And there was a man that got up to preach, and he was 84 years old. And he shared with us that he was being limited, that they had given him a time limit. He had only 45 minutes to preach. And usually, when he stood to preach at 84 years of age, he would preach 2 hours. That'd kill most Baptists right there. But he brought one of the most tremendous messages I believe I've ever heard on biblical repentance. So strange was the message that in that auditorium where thousands were seated, eyes began to fill with tears as we realized how we, God's people, had left the fountain of living waters. We have forsaken that which gives us strength and nourish. And we have made for ourselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You've got your Bible, if you'll stand, please, as we turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 for this evening. Such a privilege and an honor to be here. And I am so very, very honored that my wife is with me. She is the queen of my life. Without her in these days, I am not very good. I thank God that he's the greatest thing in my life, and the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But right close second comes my wife, Miss Linda, and I am so very thankful she's here. You've got your Bible? Say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Verse number 3 of the 2nd chapter. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You would please turn to the 4th chapter, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse number 5 of that 4th chapter, Paul writes, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all, say all, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Father, our simple prayer is that you would use us. We realize, God, there's nothing worthy, nothing desirable within us, that you would God, I just want to be empty tonight. I want to come before you, God, and do exactly what you want done. And I want you to receive all the honor and all the glory. And Father God, I'll ask you to bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so thankful again to be here, and I appreciate this opportunity, Brother Billy, to come and to preach. And as all preachers, I was called to preach and have been preaching for almost 40 years. Given an opportunity, I want to preach. But if you knew my heart, you knew that I didn't really come to preach. I came to fellowship with Brother Billy and Sister Regina. I was supposed to bring him his hat back. I remembered it when I got to Savannah, Georgia. So I will have to bring it back another day. And we've not got to fellowship much. I had forgotten what camp meeting was like. We do not have camp meetings in Florida. There are a couple of meetings down there. They're few and far between. And you really do not know what you have. You really do not know what you have. And what God has placed within your keeping and for your watch care. And you need to be very guarded over what is going on in this place. I turn to this passage of scripture because I have been asked to preach. And I want to share with you what is on my heart. There is within this scripture not only an exhortation, and I want to deal with most of that, the exhortation, the essentials, if you will, of warring a good warfare. But before I get there, I must go back to chapter 2, and as I look in chapter 2, there is within this a word of warning. For the Bible says there in verse number 4 that no man that warreth, that he's going to be involved in the struggle. He's going to be involved in that struggle according to the last part of verse number 4, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The warring that is to take place, the battle that is to be ongoing, is to be a battle that when we come to the end of it, it is not so that we would receive the glory. It is not so that people would remember our name. It is not so that someone might bring us accolades or praises. But rather when we come to the end of the war, the one who hath called us receives all the praise. But there is that within that verse that warns us. He that would war a good warfare, that would bring him honor and praise when we come to the final day, must be careful. He must be watchful. He must be sober. Why? Because if he is not careful, he will find himself entangled with the cares of this world. Here's a picture from the Greek New Testament. Here's a soldier, and he's got his armor. He's got his weapons. Understand that when you are called into the service, that the service provides you with your uniform. I remember standing in Germany, in Bad Kusnov, Germany, in 1972, looking into a wall locker and wondering, what color will I wear today? Was provided. The weapons that they had given us were provided. They didn't tell me to bring my gun from the house. When I got down to Fort Pope, Louisiana, God's garden spot, we were there, and they equipped us and they trained us with the weaponry. And so here is a picture of a man who is standing there ready to go to war. His armor has been provided. His weapon and his training has been provided. He has everything he needs to defeat the enemy. And yet, the picture
is that while he is standing there in his armor, with his training and his weaponry, the vines of this world have begun to grow around his feet. And though he is capable and trained and willing and ready, he cannot war a good warfare because he's entangled. Did y'all hear about the evangelist? He's traveling, he's staying in motels. And he could not get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom because when he got in the bathroom, he couldn't find his way back to the bed. You didn't hear that. You're looking at him. I am the world's worst at trying to get from one place to another. I went out yesterday afternoon. I did not have my wife with me. And usually when she's there, I never have to worry about where I'm going. She tells me where I need to go. She was not there, so I had my telephone. And I punched me a map on my telephone. And I was driving down the road, and I don't know how I did it. I did it going and I did it coming. I got on the wrong. I was looking at the map. It was showing the little blinking dot, but it wasn't on the route that I was supposed to be on. Now, I had three options. I could have kept right on driving on that road because there was a lot of other cars on that road and they must have known where they was going, and I could have just went along with them. Option number two, I could have found me an alternative route. Option number three, stop. Turn around and go back to where you were. Can I preach to you a minute? We got some folks. You were doing real good. You were going from where you were supposed to be and you were headed to where you were supposed to be going, but somewhere along the way, you got on the wrong road. You got to going around and it happened so suddenly. You don't know how it happened. It just happened. And you got three options. You can keep on traveling on that road you're on because there's a lot of other folks on it, and you can say, well, they must know where they're going. I'll just go with the crowd. You got another option. You can find you an alternative route. Seem like we've got a lot of alternative routes nowadays. I was raised at a time when you were either Baptist, Methodist, or ashamed. Praise God, I've never been so many places in my life where churches didn't have a name. I don't know where to go in one or not. I don't know what I'm going to find when I get in there. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I am a Baptist. Or you could stop right tonight where you are, and you can turn around and you can come back to where you left the main road, and you can get back on the right route for the glory of God. Entangled with the things of this world to the point that when the enemy comes, you can't do battle. You got the weapon. You got the armor. But you can't do anything. Can I get into your business? Will that be all right, Brother Billy? I'll let you come down and preach to my folks if you'll let me preach to yours just a minute. where I live, I know this doesn't happen in North Carolina, this is a Florida thing. We have traveling Little League baseball teams. And the traveling Little League baseball team, they start them down there, man, I'm telling you, they're playing ball when they're 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. But the amazing thing that's happened to me is that they've got these traveling teams that have to play on Sunday. And what happens is that, and God help us, mama and daddy have signed them up on this baseball team. I had one tell me, Brother Bill, we made a commitment that we'd be there. When they go out of our church, mama and daddy and the other brother got to go. But that ain't the end of it. Both sets of grandparents got to go. So instead of being in God's house on Sunday where folks are singing and praising God and the word of God is being preached, they out there at the ballpark with a bunch of heathen hollering over a foul ball. Are y'all hearing me? How is God going to bless us when we, the army of God, are not getting the training and the equipping that we need by going to the house of God? We're substituting the things of this world for the things of God. We're getting so wrapped up in vacation and doing this and doing that that we don't have time for God anymore. Amen. And while I'm here, our church does not struggle financially by the grace of an almighty God. But there are churches around me that are going out of business. In fact, if you're looking to start a church plant, you probably want to come to the panhandle of Florida because you can find an empty church building down there just about anywhere you want to start a church plant. Now, the reason that those churches went out of business is not because God got bankrupt. It wasn't because God ran out of 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. What happened to them churches is they got to the place that they no longer could pay their bills. Well, somebody must have been taking away the money. You're absolutely right. We got people that got house payments of $1,500 and $2,000 and $2,500 a month. We've got folks driving around in automobiles that'll do everything except flush the commode for you. And they're paying $500 and $800 and $1,200 a month car payment. And all of these things. And they can't pay their tithes. Why is that important? Don't you understand God's plan of economy? God said, give. You activate that, and I will give it unto you. Pressed down, running over, a great and abundant measure. Listen to what he says in Malachi chapter 3. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? That there might be meat upon my table. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, see if I'll not open the portals of glory and pour you out blessings you don't have room enough to receive. You know why you're not getting the blessing? Because you're trying to supplement God's blessing by what you can do on your salary. You tried to pay for that house. You're trying to pay for your wife's clothes. You're trying to pay for that automobile. With what you can do, and it's just about got you in the poorhouse. And I go and I tell one, now you need to start loving the Lord with all you've got, and that includes your money. Oh, preacher, oh, don't go there. Don't get into that, preacher. You know, we're doing the best we can. You liar. Bible said, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. A fellow told me the other day, he said, well, preacher, you know if my little boy don't play baseball, if he ain't on that traveling team, he probably ain't going to get no scholarship. And I'm loving, I'm kind, I'm compassionate. Y'all know that. I looked at him and I said, in other words, God ain't got nothing to do with that boy getting a scholarship. And having faith in a God to provide for his name ain't got nothing to do with him getting a scholarship. Evidently not. I got to go on there. There is, yes, that's my wife. See, I told you. There's the direction. The essentials of warring a good warfare. Not only the warning, but the essential. First and foremost, he must be a follower. The Bible implies in verse number 3, chapter number 2, he says, therefore, endure hardship as a good soldier. And here's a little word of Jesus Christ. It implies that you have a relationship with the commander-in-chief. It implies that you know him. I tell you, folks, from the bottom of my heart, the problem with our churches is that they're filled with people who've never been saved. They've been brought up in church. They think they can get salvation through osmosis. Mom and daddy was saved. Daddy was a deacon. Mama was a Sunday school teacher. Brother was a preacher. Surely I must be saved. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, a teacher, a rabbi. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest, you need to get right. That's not what it says. It says you must be born again. There's no study course. There's no option to being born again. I sat on the front porch of a gentleman the other day, and there in Sop Choppy, it's a metropolis. You got to go there to see it. We don't have any traffic lights. Brother Billy's been there. We don't have any flashing lights. We do have 2 four-way stop signs. And at one of these four-way stop signs at the White House, and the White House, I sat there on the porch with a man. Then he began to try and impress me with his knowledge of the Bible, with the churches he had attended, and with the fact that he no longer needed to go to church. And I asked him one question. I said, sir, you claim to know that Bible? Yes. You claim to have been in these churches? Yes. You claim you no longer need the church? Yes. Sir, may I ask you a question? Yes. Has anyone ever taken that Bible and showed you what God said you had to do in order to be saved? I saw a man of 43 years of age, his eyes well up with tears. I said, no, preacher. And in the next few moments, I know, he and I walked through the Word of God together, just like I walked through it with my pastor. And that afternoon, that gentleman bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to come in to be Lord and the Savior of his life. Follower. The second essential of being a good soldier for Jesus is not only must you be a follower, you must be faithful. Listen to what he says in verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he might please him who called him. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, therefore, endure hardships. There has to be a patience involved in this being faithful unto death. Do you know that in 2003, Howard Hendricks, Dallas Theological Seminary, did an exhaustive study on the men and the women of the Bible, approximately, according to him, 100 detailed biographies in the Bible. And according to him, 2/3 of them ended poorly. Of those who are listed in God's Word, according to Howard Hendricks, 2/3 of them either turned to immorality
or they drifted away in their latter years. I know it gets tough. I know that there are some times when it seems like you're the only one left. And somehow this preaching, this modern day preaching, and I won't get on that other than to say that Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel chapter 16 and verse number 33, in this world you shall suffer persecution. And it's in the midst of that trial. It's in the midst of that trying to accomplish something for the glory of God that what we come to realize is that while we are enduring the hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that what is actually happening is that God is not just doing a work through us, He's doing a work in us, so that you and I, according to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 18, might be changed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a metamorphosis that should be taking place in your life. You should be constantly dying out so that He might live through you. He is bringing you to hardship. Enduring hardship. Listen to what Paul said over here in chapter 4 in verse number 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Don't think that's easy. God has not called us to a picnic. He said, put on, Ephesians chapter number 6, the armor of God. Why? So that you might be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, you just keep on standing. Do you know what that means? That means when they don't like you, you keep on standing. That means when they don't pay you, you keep on standing. That means when nobody shows up to church but your wife, and the only reason she's there is because she's married to you, you keep on standing. Endure hardship. God help us. We've taught a generation that if their bills are not paid, God doesn't love them. Where is that in your Bible? We taught people that if they get sick or if their children are not all born pretty, that God somehow just doesn't like them. Where is that in the Bible? Your Bible says that when you go to war, you need to understand that you're facing an enemy, and he will manifest himself as a roaring lion. And we know that. We hear the lion roar, we're ready. But what we so many times failed to comprehend is that the Bible also says in 2 Corinthians that he manifests himself as an angel of light. The enemy comes and we're not ready. We've let our defenses down. We've got entangled with the things of the world. Not only should we have some patience, but we have to have some priorities. Verse number 4 says that we might please him who hath chosen us. The process of the practice of being a good soldier. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, only let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as that becometh the gospel of Christ. How you been acting lately? In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10, Paul begging those Colossians, walk worthy of the calling God hath placed upon your life. A.W. Pink in his commentary made this statement. He said, the power of faith is in the honoring of Christ before men.
the power of our faith is that when you and I leave, people say, don't know much about him, but he sure does serve a great God.
I was reading in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. I've been doing kind of a Bible study there at our church. And you understand that 2 Thessalonians was written almost immediately after 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, of course, the first epistle of Paul, talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few months pass by, word comes back to Paul. Paul, you're not going to believe what's going on over there at Thessalonica. They're teaching, number one, that the rapture's already taken place, and that, number two, they're in the middle of the tribulation. Paul, can you believe that? And so Paul begins to write back to them and try to correct some errors in 2 Thessalonians, in those three wonderful little chapters. But in chapter number one, he's telling them that he knows of their persecution. He knows of their strife. He knows of what they are going through. And the Bible says that in verses number 11 and 12 of that little, let me read it to you. Paul, realizing what they were going through and the struggles of their life, he makes this statement. He says, wherefore, also we pray. You got to study Paul's prayers. When Paul prayed, you need to pay attention. He says, we're praying for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. What calling? You're going to go through persecution. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. You're going to get fed to lions. Your women are going to get ripped up. Your children are going to be beheaded in front of you. For the cause of Christ, listen to what he says, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Verse number 12. Why? That the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. You thought this was all about you, didn't you? God called you to be a private, gave you an armor, dressed you in his finest clothes, put your training within you, and handed you the weaponry of faith and the word of God and prayer, sent you out. You thought it was all about you. Oh, no. When this thing is said and done and you've come down to cross the line, may it be said that your life brought him honor and glory. May it be said that when you sang, when you preached, when you went, when you struggled, when you strived, when you were driving down the road and you only had $5 and the empty little light was a flashing over there and you didn't know how in the world you're going to even make it to that next meeting and you just began to pray and miraculously God brought that car down the road, understand that ain't about you. It's about him. And him receiving the glory of our lives. Amen. Soldier. He, in order to be a good soldier, must be a follower. He must be faithful. He must be familiar. There are some things that you need to know if you're going to be a good soldier. You need to know, first and foremost, the sound of the commander's voice. In John chapter 10 and verse number 14, Jesus said, I know my sheep, and they know me, and they hear my voice. Have you heard him this week? Has the commander whispered some orders into your ear? I give an illustration quickly. Parents nowadays confuse me. I saw my parents go through a metamorphosis when I had grandchildren, and I really questioned whether or not they were the same people that raised me. And then I've gone through basically that same metamorphosis. But I've noticed something about children. I've noticed that if a child is playing and the mother is in another room,
And she calls out, "Junior, come here." And Junior is content to remain and play. And Mama calls out again, "Junior, come on in here." But Junior is content to play. That it won't be long that Junior is playing and Mother is calling, but Junior can no longer hear the voice of his mother. He could at first, but he's got enwrapped in what he's doing, and he can no longer hear her voice. Are you so wrapped up in what you're doing? And it could be ministry. That you no longer can hear him. Are you familiar with the commander's voice? I'd say to you also that you need to be familiar not only with his voice, you need to be familiar with the weaponry of your warfare. Above all, take the shield of faith with you, Hebrews 11:6. Somehow we've gotten away from this, but the Bible teaches that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need the helmet of salvation. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need the prayer. And then also we need to be familiar with the strategy of our enemy. You may think he's grown old and cold and dead, but he's not. Satan is alive and well. And unfortunately, he is in many, many churches. In order to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be a finisher. Paul said, "I fought. I have finished." Don't know where it's at out there. I do know it's out there. I do know it's out there because the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25, or 27, that there is appointed unto man a time to die. How are you going to finish? According to what the gentleman from Dallas Theological Seminary said, if the Bible is to be any illustration, only one out of three finished well. Are you going to be the one? Are you going to be the one who is willing to cut off the trappings of this world and set your sights upon that world to come? Will you be the one who will be a follower? Who will be faithful? Will you be the one who is familiar with the voice of the commander and your weaponry and your enemy? Will you be the one to finish? Someone has written. I got to thinking about this, Brother Tom. Don't you tell anybody. I like those 1960 songs, too. Miss Linda, she don't like them. So when she goes to sleep in the car, I play them. There's a 1960 song that was sang in protest to the Vietnam War entitled, "Where Have All the Soldiers Gone? Long time in passing." Someone wrote this poem. "I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith and prayer and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army. I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture, or I will die fighting in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, be pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me in a Sunday school to teach the children, to work with the youth, to help old adults, or to just sit and learn, he can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, or candy, or even give me a handshake. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. And if I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all of my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Demons cannot defeat me. People cannot delusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will show me who's in charge. I am a soldier in the army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Would you stand with me, please, with your heads bowed? Father God, we live in a day and a time when it's very common to hear that brother so-and-so is no longer in the ministry. Sister so-and-so is no longer singing. It's very common to hear of churches that are declining because we can't get workers for the nursery, we can't get workers for the preschool, we can't get people that'll mess with young people. We can't find anybody who wants to be committed because the lake and the river and the beach and the coast and the mountains are calling. But God, I believe that there are some folks who want to finish strong. I believe there's some folks who want to be that one out of three. I believe there's some folks, Lord God, tonight come to an old-fashioned camp meeting up here in North Carolina. No other purpose. To say, God, I want to fight. God, I want you to fill me up one more time. The process of fighting. I've been wounded. But God, I'm getting better. And I'm ready. And God, whether it's to go back to where I was and fight them same old battles. Or God, if you've got a new assignment for me, God, just whatever it is, it's about you.
"You are my commander, and I yield completely to you." Would you come this night? It'd be my honor and privilege to pray for you, to ask God to give you the strength you're going to need to keep fighting. These altars are open. Brother Billy's praying with folks. You come, I'll pray with you. Brother Doug's here at the front. He'll pray with you. Others will pray with you. Wouldn't it be good tonight just to get around the throne and say, "God, I'm here. You use another folk. God, maybe you overlooked me, God, but I'm here. And I may not be much, but God, what I am is all yours. I'm holding nothing back." Would you come tonight? Make that decision before an almighty God. I want to tell you what, folks, going back to that same old place and fighting them same old battles may be the best place in the world for you if that's God's will. Don't look for an alternative route. Don't keep going down that road because everybody else is going down it. Turn around. Get back on the main road. It's a well-traveled thoroughfare. But where it leads, whoo, is worth the trip.